Good afternoon, and welcome to this episode of the Ad Drop Podcast. As we take our spin to college football today, we stop in with Benedict College head coach Tennis Barry. Good afternoon, coach. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon, man. How you doing today?
I'm all right. Now, you have a bachelor's and you also have a master's. How did you manage to meld and mesh the academic side with the athletic side?
Well, I mean, education's always been important to me, man. Coming from humble beginnings of Cleveland, Ohio, man, I knew that, getting an education was really the way out, and just education always was driven home by my mom. Always talked about the importance of getting a quality education. So, I was able to, fortunate to get a scholarship to go play football and get my education, my degree at Savannah State College at the time. I enrolled there in 1991 and I graduated with my bachelor's in business management in the last graduating class of Savannah State College in June of 1996. And then, like I say, I was into the coaching deal. Coaching was good to me, but I wanted the opportunity to get my master's and further my education. So I went on to Kentucky State University, where I got my master's degree in public administration with the emphasis in human resource management, man. So, I knew ultimately at the end of the day, although I love coaching, I wanted to have something to fall back on. And, it's just an avenue to be able to get my education. But, coaching is what I love to do. I'm passionate about doing it. But I understood you couldn't get to the grass without class, man. So the same philosophy out here at Benedict College I have here is we chase A's, B's, championships, and degrees, man, because ultimately, at the end of the day, we know the game of football is going to be over, and we got to make sure we're getting our young men ready for the game we call life.
Now, being an HBCU, being one of the most successful HBCU coaches, when you see the attention placed on HBCU athletics, but there's a disconnect between media and the athletic part, what do you think the media has to do to kind of bridge that gap?
Well, I think anytime, man, there's a lot of stories to tell, man. A lot of history with HBCUs, man. I mean, you're talking about these places been around for a long time. And in the institution I'm at now, it's been around since 1870 at Benedict College, man. And it's a lot of stories to tell, man. And a lot of times it's not even about football per se, or basketball, baseball, or sports. It's really about, getting young men and ladies ready for the game of life, man. Because, the thing about these HBCUs, I've been a product of the HBCU for the last Since 1991, I was a player at HBCU from 91 through 95 season. Then I graduated in 96. But I've been on a HBCU campus coaching college football for the last 28 years of my adult life, man. So, it's more stories to be told about the young men that may not go into professional ranks in terms of the NFL, but they're going into other professions and being doctors, being lawyers, and being leaders in the community, man. And ultimately, that's what it's all about. Because this game's going to end, man. And, there's a lot of stories to be told. But I would love for media to get involved with it, man. Because, fortunately here at Benedict College, we've been having a lot of relationships with the local media stations, whether it's the newspapers, who's been great with the state newspaper. They've been great in marketing our program and really celebrating our program, as well as the local news media as well. So I'm fortunate to be here at Benedict College, man, where we're in an SEC town, man. So, University of South Carolina Gamecocks is 5 minutes away from us, but we get just about the same amount of coverage as, especially with the season that we had, about the same amount of coverage as they get over there. So I'm grateful to be here. And, the last spot I was at Southern University, we also was in a I'm sorry, a SEC town, when we were right there in Baton Rouge with LSU. So, we got a lot of coverage there as well. So I've been kind of fortunate in terms of the media attention, and as well as, marketing our football program, as well as marketing our young men who are eventually going to be leaders in the community, man. And that's ultimately what it's all about.
When you were back in Cleveland as a high school senior, did you ever think that one day you'd be leading your own program?
I actually went to high school in Atlanta. So I moved from Cleveland when I was in high school, and I ended up going to Redan High School in Stone Mountain, Georgia, man. But honestly, I really never knew that I was going to be a coach. I just knew that I always had leadership qualities in me. Every team I was a part of, whether it was football, basketball, always was a captain. I was never the best player, but I was always a captain. I always won leadership awards. And I probably, you know, knew that I probably was going to be a coach, but I didn't at the time. I really didn't know I was going to be a coach. It was just kind of embedded in me. And my dad used to tell me all the time, son, you got it in you, man. You're a leader. You're a natural born leader. You know, when I got finished playing, man, I just tried the coaching deal out in 1995 just to get started. I wanted to stay around the game of football. And as we look up 28 years later, I'm still coaching HBCU football, man. So I'm grateful for it.
What is it about being a leader of men that allowed you to be able to connect with the younger players?
Man, listen, man, the younger players, the generation is, we know we're dealing with a generation of a Y generation. And, you know, I kind of got old school qualities, but at the end of the day, man, I try to get young men to understand we're going to win football games. Okay. We're going to win football games, but we're going to win souls. We're going to win souls. We're going to bring young men closer to God. You know, we're a spiritual program, man, where we put faith out there up front, faith, family, and football. And we're going to make sure that the young men are prepared for that, man. But more than anything, man, and you got to be able to relate to this generation. You got to be able to relate to their music and the things that it's a social media, a like society. They want to be liked and everything, you know. But at the end of the day, we still got to teach them principles, foundation. All right, foundation, make sure your family's important, your faith is important, and make sure that you get your academics in order as well, man. So, you know, we're relating. You know, I have a pretty young staff, man. I'm obviously the oldest guy on the staff, but I have a bunch of 20s and 30-year-old coaches that are pretty much close in age to a lot of my players. So to be able to relate to those guys, and they know that you genuinely love them and care about them, they'll run through that wall for you.
When you were in your first few years of coaching, which coach inspired you to want to go on and become a head coach yourself?
Well, you know, honestly, man, I really never knew I was going to be a head coach. You know, I loved coaching, but I just watched guys, and I just wanted to believe in blooming where you're planted, man. Be the best you can be where you're at. And as I got in the coaching profession, I was moving along in the ranks. I said, well, why not run my own program? So I was able to be coached by a gentleman, a legend. He's God rest his soul. He's no longer here, by the name of Bill Davis, man. Bill Davis, you know, showed me that it's not even about football. He probably taught me more about life as a player than he did about the game of football. And then all the men that I was, you know, coming across in coaching, I just saw them as I watched them leading their families and leading programs and then leading our football program. Because the reality is we spend more time with our players and our coaches than we do with our own families. So, you know, I know that's a tough deal. And we have to have a supportive wife and a supportive significant other in order to do this and do this at a high level. But I think all in all, man, just being able to relate to guys and then just being able to have coaches that have showed me the way that I knew that I eventually will be a head football coach, and I knew that I could probably excel at it.
As a coach, what's tougher to coach? A player who may not have the greatest physical talent but has all the heart in the world, or a player with all the physical talent but not the same heart?
Well, you want a guy with heart, man. You know, it's like you say, man, sometimes, man, guys are super talented, but they don't have the drive and the motivation to be great. So that guy that's not as talented, if they have that amazing work ethic, man, they'll exceed and surpass that great talented guy all the time, man. And I tell our coaches and players this all the time. It's not going to be the team with the most talent that is going to win football games. It's a team that's disciplined and wants it more. Because at the end of the day, there's going to be a will and a want to and a desire that's going to have to come from your heart. And you got to love this game, man. This is a game. This game, man, it teaches you so many life lessons in the game of life. But ultimately, at the end of the day, you want guys that love the game, guys that love to compete, guys that love the camaraderie with teammates, man. So, you know, I've coached a lot of talented players that really didn't be able to reach their full potential because they didn't have that work ethic. But I've also coached some guys that wasn't as talented that reached the ultimate level in the NFL, man, and made a lot of money because they had an amazing work ethic. You may be, I tell the guys this myself, even about me, you may have more talent than me, or you may have guys that are more talented than my team. But one thing I can assure you, you're not going to outwork us, man. So I got full control of that. So that's how I feel about talent and work ethic.
Do you ever take a chance to kind of step on the field when it's just you, look out at the stadium and look around and kind of embrace the fact that came from a long way, all those long bus trips as an assistant, all that time as an assistant, the internships, and kind of reflect on your path here?
Absolutely. I do it all the time. And I get emotional. And to God be the glory that I am who I am today, man, because I have a foundation of faith, man. And I know that God don't make any mistakes. I'm where I'm supposed to be because I'm supposed to be here. You know, I had those aspirations of going to coach on the NFL level, Power Five football and things of that nature. But God had me to be able to give back to HBCUs. And, you know, sometimes I reflect on the field and just sit back and look at my life, humble beginnings, man, of a single mom that raised me in Cleveland, Ohio with two brothers. It was three of us, man. We didn't have a whole lot, but one thing our mother instilled in us was faith in God and a work ethic, man. And just to look at where I come from to where I am now, I'm not done yet. Got a long way to go, but I'm grateful that for the road and the path that's been taken and being able to be where I am today.
What trait did your mom pass down to you to help you deal with the tough times, the adversity?
Well, more than anything, just her undying faith, man. I mean, she's a woman of God, a woman of faith, and man, she was a worker, man. My mom was a cashier at a grocery store. Most of her, she retired after 30 years, 35 plus years of doing that. And one thing that she always instilled in all of my brothers as well as myself was just so unbelievable faith and unbelievable work ethic. And, you know, and she was able to provide for us a good life. And ultimately, at the end of the day, man, I'm just grateful for my mother and the foundation that she poured into us as young boys in inner city Cleveland, Ohio.
When you looked at your own kids, do you see traits that your mom had that you can kind of see her in them?
Oh, yeah, no question about it, man. I definitely do that, man. My mom and I are still super, super duper. We talk quite often, man, super duper close, man. But my mom was awesome, man. And she's still rocking and rolling. She's up there in Cleveland and still doing the same thing, going to church every Sunday and still praising God, man.
When we come back from break, I want to discuss more about the program and kind of your thoughts on recruiting and kind of the road trips about an HBCU. But that's after this break. You are listening to the Ad Drop Podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with Ad Drop Podcast. Terrence Biggs with me is the head coach of Benedict College, Chennis Berry. Coach, when you look at your season last year, was there any point where you knew early on that you'd have this amount of success?
You know, I'm a believer, and you know, anytime all teams, man, they come into the season, man, everybody think they're gonna win them all, man. But you know, you try to be optimistic, but at the same time, you believe in what you've recruited, you believe in your coaches, you believe in the players, and the reality is, man, to have the year that we had, that doesn't happen all the time, man. Like I say, I've been coaching 28 years, and I've never ever coached a season of undefeated regular season, man. That's tough to do. So you know, we have a philosophy here. We don't worry about the end goal. We worry about falling in love with the process of becoming great. We read a book as a football team called Chop Wood, Carry Water, and it talked about surrendering the outcome and falling in love with the process. So our philosophy around here, and this, to be honest, this isn't just cliche. We just want to win today. We want to be the best we can be every day. Today is March 24th, 2023. This day will never, ever come back. We just want to be the best we can be today. If we can win today and we can continue to stack positive days back to back to back to back, we like our chances at the end, man. So did I know that we were going to go 10-0 in the regular season and then win our championship game and then, you know, go into the Division II playoff? I didn't know that at the beginning, but I believed in our coaches. I believed in the young men that we had recruited in our program. And I knew that we had good leadership and we had a chance to be really, really good.
When I look back at your 2022 season, one of the things I look back at as the balance between the rush and the pass, where you average about a little under 8 yards per attempt in the air and about 4.3 yards in the air on the ground as a running game. Is finding offensive balance something that you have preached to your team, or is that just the way how the season kind of broke through?
I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, any coach, if you ask any coach in the country, they want balance because then you won't be predictable. You want to have a good running game and a good pass game to keep teams off balance. But, you know, we just try to have explosive plays, man. We want to have explosive runs. Those are runs over 10. Then we want to have explosive passes. Those are passes over 15. We just try to eliminate as many negative plays as we can. And what we do on offense, we put our quarterback in a position to be successful because ultimately, at the end of the day, he's the point guard of the offense. You know, although point guards in the basketball, they are the distributor. They are the guy that manages it all. and in the basketball game, but it's the same thing as quarterbacks. You don't have to do anything out of the ordinary. Just put the ball in the playmaker's hands and do not turn the ball over. So ultimately, at the end of the day, we want explosive passes, but we also want explosive runs. And we felt like we did that for the most part, pretty much the entire season.
What's the ceiling or the next step for Eric Fiennes as far as being his evolution as a quarterback?
Well, Eric Fiennes is no longer with us. He entered the transfer portal after the season, and he wanted to test this bet on himself, and he wanted to go and see if he can go to the next level. So he'll be graduating from here in May. Nice. We wish him the best of luck, man. Great young man, but you know, he felt like that there was nothing else he can accomplish at Benedict College. So like I say, we wished him well, man, but you know, ultimately at the end of the day, we got some other guys in here and some other guys that's trying to get here to be able to run the offense that we know that is capable of being very, very explosive each and every time we come out there.
Has there been anyone that you can see from early on in spring that will be able to possibly step into that void and take over as the leader of the offense?
Well, we got some guys here. We have three guys right now taking reps this past right now in the spring. We're in practice number nine tomorrow. So we got some guys that's really getting better. And, you know, ultimately at the quarterback position, it's not going to happen overnight. You know, you got to learn a lot, man. You got no protection. You got no snap count. You got no tempo. You got no running game. I mean, it's not going to happen. And we only finished practice number eight. So we're going on practice number nine tomorrow. And they're getting better. I'm excited with the growth. And then we also signed two more quarterbacks. We got a transfer that's here now. We signed another transfer and a really, really good high school quarterback out of Atlanta. And we're probably going to take one more because of some guys that really want to be here. And we're going to let those guys compete and let the chips fall where they may. But we got some explosive players around them. Everybody talks about the quarterback position because obviously it's an important position. But we're explosive at running back. We're explosive at receiver. I mean, we got some tight ends that can rock and roll. And we're really developing, growing as an offensive line. So whoever gets behind center, whoever starts that first game when we kick off versus Shaw, they're going to have some tools to be able to be explosive as long as they do their part.
How important is it when you play Shaw to be able to get off to a first game, great, fast start to be able to set the tone for the rest of the season?
Oh, that's always important, man. Fast start. We preach that in everything we do, man. And we're getting a really good Shaw football team. Coach Adrian Jones, man, he does a great job with those guys. They're going to be coming in here. They're in the capital of North Carolina, which is Raleigh, North Carolina. We're in the capital of South Carolina, which is Columbia. And it's basically the battle of the capitals, man, right here, man. It's the Carolinas Classic. They're in North Carolina. We're in South Carolina, man. Good football team coming in here from the CIAA. We're in the SIC, so we're going to kick it off right. But our young men understand every day. All right, September 2nd is coming down the line, but we want to be the best we could be on March 24th. And if we continue to put positive days back to back, by the time we get to September 2nd, we'll be ready to go.
What's the one piece of advice you would give to any younger player who will put on that Benedict College helmet for the first time?
Well, we tell young men, you got to be the right fit in this program. All right, if you're not embodying what we're about, and that's chase A's, B's, C's, and D's, that's A's and B's in the classroom, non-negotiable. Those are non-negotiable. We want young men to win in the classroom. And those C's are championships. That's plural. I didn't say championship. I said championships with the S at the end. And then degrees. If you're not about that life, don't come to Benedict. We're okay with that. You have to be focused on fitting our philosophy, and that's what we're all about. And when it comes to our main process, and that's dig deep. Dig deep. We know in life as young men that adversity is going to strike. And it's going to strike in the game of football, too. You're not always going to be up. Sometimes you got to be down. And you got to find it from the pit of your soul to dig deep. So that acronym for us is D-Discipline. If you're not about discipline, don't come to Benedict. We're okay. We're okay with that. Everybody's not for Benedict. But you're going to have some discipline in your life and just do right at the end of the day. I is integrity. That's your character. That's who you are when no one is watching you. So if you aren't a man of character, don't come to Benedict. We're okay with it. If you are, come on to Benedict. Gee, God. We put God first in this program. So that is the dig part. The next deep is D is dedication. We have to be dedicated to do this, man. It's hard to be a student athlete, man. So you got to be dedicated if you're going to be good at this. E, effort. In the game of football, in the game of life, you got to get great effort at anything. You want to be a great husband, you better be great. You got to get great effort. If you want to be a great father, you got to get great effort. You want to be a great football player, you got to get great effort. In the classroom. And then E is execution. We all got a plan. on what we want to do in our life. All right, I want a house on the hill. I want a boat on the lake. I want this beautiful wife. But guess what? You better go execute it. And then P is pride. Pride in your last name as a man. See, as men, we carry our daddy's last name first and foremost. So we got to have pride in that first. And then you better have tiger pride because the Benedict College Tigers gave you a chance. What you do with that opportunity is completely up to you. So if you're not about that life, the freshmen that come in this program, transfers, whoever they are, they got to know. It's about falling in love with the process. Chop wood, carry water. It's about dig deep, and it's about family, man. That's what we're all about. Forget about me. I love you. Another acronym there for you.
As a former all-conference offensive tackle, who was your toughest opponent to block? Who's the one guy you like just gave you fits?
Man, it was this gentleman, man. I'll tell you, man, I ain't played ball since 1994, man. This is a guy at Albany State named Raymond Crosby Sharp. Defense end, number 91. I remember, number 93. I remember him like yesterday, man. That was every day, every time I played against him, I had to bring my A game. So that's a guy I remember, man. And it's crazy how I remember a guy that's back in 1993 and 1994, man. That's a long time ago. So that mean I had to bring my A game every time I played against that young man.
When you're not on the field, when you're not recruiting, when you're not coaching, how do you get away from the game?
Man, it's hard to get away from the game, man. When you're a CEO of a program, man, even though you want to get away, man, your mind's always, your hamster's always spinning in your head, man. And not necessarily about X's and O's, about the young men, you know, just making sure they're making the right decisions and all that. But ultimately, I'm a family guy, man. I love my wife. Got an awesome wife, man. I just love hanging out, kicking it, listen to a little old school, get on the back porch, just hang out with the wife, my kids, man. Always bring joy to my heart. Just family, man. I done got older now, man. I'm a little different, man. Now, man, peace of mind is more important to me than anything, man. I don't have to do nothing, man. As long as I got peace, all right, peace, because I work at a job where there's a lot of stress in this job. So you gotta, when you get a time to get away and just relax and unwind and enjoy the people that really, really love and invest in you, man, what a special time it is.
When you are out, when you and your family out to eat, what's the best place to go in town and what's on your plate?
Listen, I'm a steak guy, man. I want some steak, man. So I've been a Ruth Chris guy all along, man. But this is Hall Steakhouse here in Columbia. I hadn't tried yet. But I want me a ribeye, man. I want me a butter ribeye. You know what I'm saying? With a little lobster mac and cheese. That's what I'm visualizing. Just hadn't been yet. So I want a little lobster mac and cheese, a little butter ribeye. And, that's what I'm looking for. But I want the bone in the ribeye, though, man. It's got to be bone in. And I want it medium well. Medium well. That's what I'm looking for. That's an ideal plate for me.
What size are you having with it?
Size. Just like I say, a little lobster mac and cheese, man. That's really all I need, man. Give me a little roll or something. You know, I might put a little collard greens on there, man. My wife gonna give me the blues if I don't put no vegetables on there. So, you know, I just named the meat and a little starch, but she's gonna make sure that I have some water, and she's gonna make sure that I got some greens on my plate.
What for dessert?
Man, listen, any dessert, man. Ideally, I'm a cake guy, I'm a pie guy, I'm a little peach cobbler, man. I'm a dessert guy. That's probably my weakness, man. That's why I can't get back to my playing weight, man. I keep going up, man, because I'm not spending enough time on my bike, man. I got a new bike that I ride, man. I haven't been riding enough, so I gotta eat a little bit better. But sweet's probably my weakness, man. My Peloton's calling my name right now.
I feel it. Now, being from Cleveland and moving to the Atlanta area, did you start off as a Browns fan and become a Falcons fan, or did you just kind of just become a Falcons fan when you moved there? Who do you cheer for?
That's right. You're right, man. When you're from Cleveland, man, you got to be a Browns fan, man. You wake up, man. You got to be a Browns fan. But then when I moved to Atlanta, like you say, man, I started enjoying the Falcons. Man, I'm a Deion Sanders guy, so primetime used to have the Georgia Dome rocking. Back, it was Fulton County Stadium back in the 80s. All right, and then the Georgia Dome got to rocking, man. So I couldn't help but to be a Falcons fan, too. And all my buddies, all my friends were Falcons fan. But deep down in my soul, man, I'm in the dog pound, man. And I'm all about them Cleveland Browns, man.
How would you fix the Falcons right now if you had the ability just to, you know, snap your fingers and make things happen? How would you fix the Falcons?
Well, any team, man. Listen, man, I don't care if it's the Little League, the Gresham Park football team, Little League to the NFL. To the Falcons, man, you better make sure you're good at offensive line, defensive line, and quarterback. All right. And you got to be really, really good at corners. See, in the NFL, they play a lot of man. So you got to have some good corners. You got to have some dudes, O-line, D-line. And you better have the right guy behind the center. So if they don't start with the foundation, I don't care anyway. They're not going to win the coin toss, man. So whatever team it is, you better make sure you got those positions.
Benedict College head football coach, Tennis Berry, thank you so much for joining us. Episode of the on the AdDrop podcast. Best of luck this season. We definitely will be checking in. The Lions have had a fantastic 2022. Here's for a fantastic 2023.
Man, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on. Just keep us in your prayers, man. We just want to get better every day, man. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Coach.